Good evening to everyone. It's good to see everyone here this evening as we again engage in study of God's Word. And again, you have been very kind in the encouraging things that you have said, and I have been fed well, and I really have been enjoying myself with you, and you have been a great source of encouragement to me. I want to extend my appreciation to Marie for providing breakfast this morning, even though I had to walk for it, but that's fine. I enjoyed that. And then also appreciate Ron and Terry providing dinner this evening. Had a great time spending with them, and then on the way back as we were parked in the parking lot, I thought Ron wasn't going to let me out of the car, but he eventually let me out. But I have just thoroughly enjoyed myself and enjoyed being with you and spending this time together. And as we share our lives and encouragement with each other, I hope that in some small way that I have been doing that for you. And you have so kindly expressed that. I also would like to make a correction to something that I said last night in regards to Acts chapter 3. Someone brought that to my attention. I meant to have pointed out that it was the crowd that had gathered around Peter and John as they had healed the lame man instead of the Jewish council that they were standing before. And that's the correction I'd like to make and bring to your attention. And I really appreciate that because that's our endeavor. And that's why I encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along with me. And as we examine the scriptures to learn. And again, if you have any questions or if I need to make let me know. Because I want to go to heaven, and I want to encourage as many people as possible to go to heaven. It's about us working together, accomplishing that will, His will in our lives so that we can be with Him throughout eternity. And so, again, I just certainly appreciate all of that. And as Don pointed out, that our theme this week has been living in the world but not of it. And we saw in our last night's discussion regarding repentance and how important repentance is. Because there are times as you and I, as we live in the world, sometimes as the world is pulling at us and causes us to really be distracted. And we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to continue to be mindful that we need to keep our hearts and minds set on doing His will. And so tonight, as we engage in study, again, open up your Bibles and study along with me as we look at a few things. I want to begin by expressing this, that you know that you could tell a lot about a person by the way they walk. Ever notice that? Yeah, you can tell a lot by the way a person walks. For example, when you start to look at the different, I think, let's see. I could preach without it. Don't worry about that. But anyway, you could tell a lot by the way that a person walks. For example, the purpose in regards to an individual's walk, you can see an individual walking with purpose. And how you can tell that is by that individual's focusing on where they're going. And so they have a purpose, and so they're following that. And then you have individuals who you can tell that they are hurting by the steps that they take. And then you can also see where individuals are daydreaming. Yeah, and I remember when I was younger, and I was coming from a Bible study. And as I came from a Bible study, what happened was I was paying attention. I was kind of daydreaming because there was a basketball game that was going on. And as I'm watching that game, it just took my mind away of where I was going. And come to find out, as I started doing this and paying attention, and I was just looking, and then all of a sudden I went to do this, and I ran right into a pole. And I mean, that pole said, ping, and it just sounded off. I hit it pretty hard. But I was daydreaming, you know. So I was distracted by the baseball game or the basketball game. And then there are those who, as they are walking with confidence. You see those who are walking with confidence as well. And you see individuals who are aged. You can tell that they are older by the way that they're walking. You can tell individuals who are walking in reference to exercising. You know, they have that, what they call power walk. in their step. And then you could tell individuals who are just walking for pleasure, as you know, just strolling along and just looking about them, and they're just walking for pleasure. And you could see those who are just walking with a laid-back attitude. So you could tell a lot about a person by the way that they walk. And that's the way it is when it comes to our lives with God. Individuals can tell a lot about us by the way that we walk in our relationship with God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, it is there that the apostle writes to the brethren at Ephesus, and he points out to them, he says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." The apostle is telling these brethren, and it is a lesson for us, that individuals can tell a lot by the way that you and I walk when it comes to God. And so he is strongly encouraging the Ephesian brethren to pay closer attention to those things. And he is encouraging them to make sure that they are following the will of God. And sometimes as you and I are encountering things in this world and as we're living our lives, sometimes we are mistreated and we start to rationalize in our mind that it's okay to mistreat others. And that's not true. You see. And so I titled the lesson this evening, Walking Worthy of the Calling of God. In our discussion this evening, we're going to explore what it means when the apostle talks about the calling of God. We're also going to look at the meaning of this word worthy as well. And then we're going to explore how to walk worthy of the calling of God. And then finally, as we sum up the lesson, we're going to see why we are to do this. And I believe that the apostle expresses this when he writes to these brethren. First of all, the word walk itself is a figurative use in regards to the way that one lives. That's what he's referring to. One's conduct, one's behavior, when he uses that word walk. And when he talks about the calling of God, we need to understand what this is referring to. You will have many individuals who claim that God has called them by the still small voice, as though some just comes out of the darkness that God is calling. In other words, like saying, "Well, Albert, I want you to walk with me," you know, just out of the blue. No, that's not what the apostle is pointing to when he talks about that. That's what some do believe, however. Well, if that's not the case, then how does God call us? And what's the meaning of all of this? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, the apostle talks about how God calls individuals. He calls them by the gospel. As Paul writes to these brethren, he says, "To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you and I are called by the gospel. Now, I want us to understand, as the Bible teaches us about this calling of God, it is described when you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The apostle, as he writes to Timothy, he says it is a holy calling. A holy calling. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our God, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling." a calling that you and I are separated or sanctified to live according to the will of God. And he goes on to say, because of our works, because of our own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So the apostle is saying it is a holy calling. Not only is it a holy calling, but notice in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer there points out in connection to the calling of God that it is a heavenly calling. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a holy calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Do you see that? It's a holy calling. It's a heavenly calling. That is what's referred to as the gospel of Christ. All of that is contained in that. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, we understand that it is his and then our calling. As Peter says to them, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. See, earlier he had already expressed to them in that second letter and verse in chapter 1 in reference to the things that we need to add to our characters. And he says that's God's calling. And because that's God's calling, and as we follow his calling, it begins or becomes our calling. Every last one of us. To walk accordingly, to do the will of God. And this is God's purpose for us. What is also interesting as well there in 2 Peter chapter 1 is verse 11. He says, for in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. You see, we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And the reason why, it is about our eternal entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. This, as the song that we sing from time to time, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And if we recognize our calling, God is telling us that we're not to lay up our treasures here on earth, but we are to lay them up in heaven by living or walking according to his will. Here's something else about that calling. Over in Philippians chapter 3, it is there that the apostle says that calling is an upward calling. It is a higher standard of living, as we said earlier in our discussion this week. Upward. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If we live according to the world standard, we are living below what God wants for us. It is not until you and I live up to the standard that God has set for us that we are living up to this high standard, and even then, it is still upward. And that's what the apostle was saying about his own life. He had not achieved to this perfection to where there is nothing wrong that he didn't need to grow anymore. No, he says, I need to grow. I need to attain to the resurrection of Christ. And that's what you and I are to do as his people. So this calling is very important. Now, here's the question. Is there a method to this walking? Yes, there is a method. To this upward call, to this heavenly call, to this the calling that he has given to us through the gospel, there is a method, yes. On how to do that. And the first thing that he begins to point out to us in regards to the method, you see, God has not left these things up to us. He did not call us and describe this calling as an upward call and say, you live as you want, or you walk the way that you want to walk. No. There's a reason for that. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. The reason why God has given this method is so that we can rise up to the standard that pleases Him. Turn with me to James chapter 1. It is there in James that we begin to understand why God has not left this to our own device to walk worthy of His calling. James chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 tells us, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." Why? Why is this? The reason why, James tells us in verse 20, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We can't do it on our own. We don't know. God's righteousness is far above us. He sets that standard. And as I described on other occasions, yes, the term righteousness can be used in the reference to justification. But another way to understand this term righteousness is right-wayness. Living and walking the right way. So God has laid out the method because our way will never achieve that righteousness. In fact, it was you and I, or our sins, in the first place that separated us from God. It was the sin of man where sin and death entered into this world. That's why. The Ecclesiastes writer says this over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It is there that the writer in the wisdom says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil." We have to be told what is right. And God sets that standard. God is the one who tells us what is right, what is wrong. As we learn and as we grow, we start to see the wisdom. We start to see the holiness of how you and I are to live. And then he goes on to say, "Do not be hasty in word or impulse in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God." Sometimes we are just hasty in our words, and sometimes we just act on impulse of thought. Sometimes we don't know the whole picture. We don't see it. But God does. God sees the whole picture. Where you and I, we don't see that. And so sometimes we are hasty in our words. And sometimes we do act impulsively, without getting the main picture or the whole picture. And thereby we miss it sometimes. And the majority of the time, we miss it. Yes, we do. And that's why sometimes as the apostle, remember, as he's writing to these brethren here at Ephesus, remember, he's the one that has been in prison for the sake of Christ. And as he writes to these brethren, they're especially at Philippi and so forth, what is he pointing out to them? He is saying, look, yes, I was mistreated. And what I appreciate about the apostle there, especially there in Philippians chapter 1, there he is, he's in prison, and yet the Philippian brethren are concerned about Paul's situation, and Paul writes to them, and what he's trying to do, when you look at that letter, he's trying to encourage them not to put their faith in him, but to put it in Jesus Christ. Whether I live or whether I die, it is all about Jesus Christ. And he says, there are those who preach Christ trying to cause trouble. They do it out of envy. And he says, I'm not judging their motives. You know the thing that he says he rejoices about? That Christ is preached. Because it's the main focus. And he's trying to get the brethren at Philippi to see this, to help them to go on to maturity in their thinking, in their lives. Why? Because they're living for the Lord. That's what they're living for. That's who they're walking with. They're walking with the Lord. They're walking with God. And so they need to learn that. Because we are. And I look back at my life. There are some things I have said, and I shouldn't have said them because I was hasty in words. There are some thoughts that I had. Instead of giving the benefit of the doubt, I acted impulsively, and I had the impulsive thought. And yet I have to run that, I got to get rid of that out of my mind so that I can think clearly. And sometimes we're like that. That's why God has not left this to our own methods. That's why he lays down the standard. So, what are those methods that God has laid down of how to walk worthy of his calling? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. When you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, as the apostle, the Holy Spirit through the apostle, is imploring these brethren to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which they have been called, and he says, here's the method. You do it with humility. You have to do this with humility. Lowliness of mind. That's the idea of humility. Lowliness of mind. And as I described that the other night about being soft towards God, within the idea of humility is another thing, and that is gentleness. Gentleness. That's how you do it. Now, first of all, remember, with humility, when we don't give the person the benefit of the doubt, but if we think lowliness of mind, what does it help us to do? It helps us to value others, to see their souls, to see their hurt, to see the struggles that they're going through, and try to help them, just as God, through the writings of his word, as we learn and grow, help us to grow, as God has been towards us in our lives. Then with that humility or lowliness of mind, we're able then to help others to do the same. That's what the Ephesian brethren needed to understand. And as the Holy Spirit is doing this, encouraging them, you do it with humility and you do it with gentleness. You see, our society, our world, what it has done to us, it has made it seem like humility and gentleness displays weakness. No, it doesn't. You see, humility and gentleness shows strength of character. That's what it does. In other words, you are saying you're not going to allow the world to control you and manipulate you and fill you up with pride, to fill you up with boasting. No, what it's going to do when you turn your heart to the Lord, it causes you to have lowliness of mind and look at yourself and say, you know, I need the Lord too. I needed him. And you can see that throughout the apostle himself, as we talked about in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He looked back at his own life and saw what kind of person he was. And he saw the mercy of God towards him. And you could see him working and laboring to help these brethren to do the same. And that's what life is about in this walk with God. Not only are we to do it with gentleness, we are to do it with patience. Wow. With patience. True. A hard head makes us soft behind. Now, what do I mean by that? I remember my parents telling me to do something, and I was kind of hard-headed about it. And I'd get disciplined. That's the idea, soft behind. Get disciplined. I remember one time my parents told me there was this place that I used to go to and when I was younger, and it was around the corner, and I would sneak out of the house. And I'd go around the corner, and I'd play and Mom said, "Now, you need to stop doing that. I dare you to go back around that house, because if you go around the house, I'm going to punish you." I was hard-headed. What happened was I snuck out anyway, went around there and started playing, and then all of a sudden I slipped off the banister or the railing of what I was the steps I was playing on and hit my head. And I tried to sneak back in the house without getting caught. You know what gave me away? The knot that was on my head. Yeah. I had to learn a hard lesson. There was another incident one time when Mom said, I used to go swimming. I loved to go swimming. And she said, don't go in that pool. And I figured, well, she wasn't looking, I'd sneak out and go in the pool. And then I remember I was in the pool. And I was just swimming and going on. And all of a sudden I came up out of the water and there she was standing there watching me. And my eyes grew big, and I just went over to the side of the pool, climbed out, and went back to the house. And she said, "I told you not to go in that pool." And I thought she had left the house for a little while, and I figured, well, by the time she gets back, I will already have fun, and then I get back in the house and be okay. And I did that. I went out, and all of a sudden, I'm swimming. I'm just having a great time. I went up under the water, came out, and there she was standing there watching me. And that time, she disciplined me. That's right. Because of my disobedience. Sometimes she was exercising patience. You see what she did? She exercised patience, and I had to learn. And because she was exercising patience, I took advantage of that, and I learned the hard way. Well, in life and as we're walking, it takes patience. Some people, it takes several times for them to finally get it. Patience is a very important part of the process. Self-restraint before action. Forbear. That's the idea. That's how you and I are to walk worthy of the calling of God. God exercised patience towards us, and He wants us to exercise patience towards others. Showing tolerance. Have patience with. Let truth take its course or do its work. Sometimes it takes time. To allow truth to permeate through the person's heart and mind as they're putting things together and helping them to grow and to develop into what God would have them to be. It takes sometimes that tolerance, yes. Now, I'm not saying that we are to accept false teaching. No, I'm not saying that at all. Sometimes we have to exercise patience. So really, patience and showing tolerance are basically the same. Helping individuals to go, giving them the benefit of the doubt. See, that's God's method of how you and I are to walk worthy of His calling. And here's another one. Preserving the unity of the Spirit. That's an important part of this walk with God. In other words, we are to give attention to the fact or focus on preserving the unity of the Spirit. Following truth. Allowing truth to lead and guide. And sometimes in the truth, it has to go back and kind of tug or prod us back on the path. That's what truth will do. Prod us back on the path and then gently nudge us to go forward in walking with God. Preserving that. Considering my situation to make sure that I am doing all that I can to be in obedience to God, to worship God in His way, and to avoid sin in my life. In Romans chapter 12. Verses 17 and 18. I want you to notice something that the apostle writes to the brethren there at Rome. And there is a phrase in that is very in these passages very interesting. He says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." Now I want you to notice verse 18. "If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." That phrase, "so far as it depends on you." You know what the point is? To make sure that I'm not the problem. That's what it means. I need to examine myself. I need to make sure, do I have the proper attitude? Am I seeing this from the right perspective? That's what it requires for me to look at me and to make sure that I am not the problem, that I'm not contributing to the disunity, that I'm not contributing to the strife and the quarrels that exist. And when that happens, we will then preserve the unity of the Spirit. When things need to be corrected, we will do that. That's what we will do. When we need to change course, we're going to do that. Why? Because we are preserving the unity of the Spirit. We want to follow what is right. We want to do what God requires of us. We want to please Him. Because we are walking worthy of His calling of us. That's why. And it becomes very important to us. Now, let's begin to look at a few other things, and let's get into greater detail in why God's method. You know what is interesting, and as I thought about this, look over with me in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3, remember Moses, as he is pulled aside, as he sees this bush that is on fire, but yet that bush is not being consumed. And he goes over to investigate. And as he gets closer to the bush, it says, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And then Moses responds, "Here am I." Then he said, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet." Why? "For the place on which you are standing is holy ground." Holy ground. That's why, Moses. That's why, as you're coming near, you need to understand when you're coming near to God, you are standing on holy ground. It's important that Moses was aware of that. It's important that you and I are aware of that. And when you look back at Ephesians chapter 4, that same picture is expressed there. Why do I say that? Let's go back to Ephesians 4 and look at why. See, Moses is standing on holy ground, and he needs to recognize that. And when Paul is telling us, or the Holy Spirit through the apostle, is telling us that we are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called, and the reason why is because of the things that he says there in chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Notice, in those passages, one body. You see, when we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into His body. The function of serving and doing what He says. When we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into that one body because our sins have been washed away. And because our sins are washed away, you and I are now united with God. Because we're standing on holy ground. Yes, we are. in Christ Jesus, we are standing on holy ground in the one body of Christ. One Spirit enlightens and convicts and converts us. Why is that important? Because we're standing on holy ground. That's why we have to get rid of those sins. We are now in Christ. We have this relationship with God. We are walking worthy of His call. We are walking with God. And if we are walking with God, then you and I need to have our sins cleansed because we are near the one, just as Moses was, standing on holy ground. And many times we don't think about that. This is why God wants us to walk according to His method, because we're standing on holy ground. His character is at stake. One Spirit, one hope of the calling into the realm of God, into the rulership of God. Not only the one Lord. We have one Master, one Ruler. We don't have many. We have one. That's Christ Jesus. We are recognizing this. We are seeing this as you and I are in Christ Jesus. One faith. There is one system of teaching. Not many systems whereby an individual can be saved and right with God. No, one. That's what it refers to, the one faith. And that one teaching teaches us how to walk. It teaches us how to live. Young folks, are you... have obeyed the gospel of Christ, I want you to understand, when you're at school, you're walking on holy ground. You know why? Because you have a relationship with Christ. That's right. And imagine, as you think about that, you impact your friends and your neighbors. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they walk. That's right. What do we usually think when a person claims to be something and they're not? That's why Jesus chided the Pharisees on being hypocrites. They were pretending, but they were not. You and I, when we obey the gospel of Christ, we are. And we should be. And God wants us to live accordingly so that we can make the impact as the world is watching us as we walk with God. And that person is... why do they say the things that they say? Why are they trying to encourage me to do right? Why, when they see me hurting, they try to help me? Why is that? There's something about him. It's something about her. They don't live according to the world standard. They don't act like the people that I've seen that have been around me and that I've grown up. They don't act like that. Why? Why is that? You see, we're standing on the holy ground, and they see that. That's the impact that we make as we follow God. One baptism, the cleansing and the purification in this relationship with God. We're standing on holy ground. Moses is told that over in Exodus chapter 3. And we miss it sometimes because we don't see this very impactful relationship that we have with God. We are walking with God. We agree with Him. We are allowing Him to change our lives as we're walking this upward call in Christ Jesus. See that? Those terms and those expressions mean something. And when we look at them from their proper perspective, we understand why the apostle is encouraging them to do so. You see, remember, as I said earlier about Ephesus, a port city, they had all kinds of people, all kinds of worship of false gods and so forth, and individuals living all kinds of ways or walking all kinds of ways. And here are these Christians, living in the midst of all of that. They are a light shining in a dark place. And as they continue to walk with God, their lives are shining brighter and brighter, helping individuals to see those who have been caught up in idolatry, and they're seeing how their lives are being destroyed, and they want to get off that course. How do I do that? There's the light over there. There's the light that's shining bright. I want to go see what's happening. And as they're drawing closer, and they see these individuals living their lives right, how do I do that? Well, you have to take off your sins. You have to get rid of them. Because when you get rid of your sins through the blood of Christ, you're standing on holy ground. That's the point. And that's the picture that we're seeing from all of this. And then he goes on to say, one God and Father. We have one Creator. Deity. Walking worthy of the calling of God. That's God's method because we're standing on holy ground. That's why. God wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to walk arm in arm. And the only way that we can do this is by being in Him and standing on the ground which He has set. And the only way that that ground is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has made it so. You see, if we're not in Christ, the ground that we are standing on, when we're all of these things, because we're standing, the ground we're standing on is the ground of death, condemnation, destruction, and sin. That's the ground we're standing on. That's the arena that you and I are in. And the only way to get off of that ground and stand on the ground which God has provided, that holy ground, we have to be in Christ. Because in Christ, I want you, as the light of Christ shines and as He establishes the ground that you and I are to walk on, what happens is, on that ground, all the spiritual blessings. There's the forgiveness of sins. There is the sonship. There is the inheritance. There is this. We're sealed. We are identified with God. We are enrolled in heaven. Our names are. We are new creation in Christ Jesus. Salvation is ours. That's the ground that we want to stand on. That's holy ground. That's holy ground. And God wants us to walk worthy of the calling with which He has called each of us. This heavenly calling, this holy calling, this upward call. See that? What a beautiful picture. God is amazing. He is awesome. And the more you go over His word, the more you see His infinite wisdom. And I encourage you tonight to think very seriously about these things. See where you are standing. If you're outside of Christ, you're standing on the grounds of death. You're standing on unstable ground. You're standing on the ground of condemnation. You're standing on the ground of sin and destruction. That's where you're standing. And because you're standing there, you will lose your soul unless you stand on God's ground. And the way that you stand on God's ground is to be baptized into Christ. And when you are baptized into Christ, God expects for you to walk faithfully and to continue in your obedience. And as you do that, you will be walking worthy of the calling of which He has called us. We're to live in the world, but not of it. God has laid down how you and I could do that. It's all about heaven. And we're walking. As we're walking on that holy ground, we're walking towards heaven to be with our Father throughout eternity. Tonight, if you are not in Christ, you're standing on the grounds of all these things that have been mentioned. I want to encourage you as a friend. And the brethren here want to encourage you as friends to consider where you're standing, that you might enter and stand on God's ground, that your soul will be saved, and that at the end of life, you'll be with God throughout eternity. So won't you obey? You're among friends. We'll help you. We'll assist you. All things are ready for that. If you've fallen away, return to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. And in order to return to God's ground, you must repent. Must repent. And then determine to follow the Lord and work with the brethren here to encourage one another so that you will be encouraged to continue to walk with Him in that worthy calling. So if we can assist you, my friend, come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.